Okay, so I want to pray for Shannon this morning. She's doing the unexpected, or yeah, roll with the punches. So thank you, God, for Pastor Shannon, and I pray now that you just give her the grace and strength and peace, insight, share with us what you have for us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Okay. So you have to know that there's no PowerPoint this morning. Earlier this week, I was talking with Ed and Sherry, and Ed had laryngitis, and they figured by the weekend he'd be good. And I said, okay, well, here's my number if you think you're not going to make it. And it was fine, and Friday, I got the email, yeah, Ed's good to go. And then at 8:30 last night, I thought I better take a look at my phone, mostly because I was wanting to check in on Betty and Jim. And there was the message, Ed's really sick. But we'll wait till tomorrow morning to see how he's doing. And I thought, no, I'm not waiting till tomorrow morning. So I just said, we'll just take the pressure off and just let him get home and get, or stay home and get better. And we'll just go from there. And it was interesting. I sat last night and said, okay, Lord, what's the message? And he said, don't worry about it. And I'm sure, as all of you would, just, I need to worry about it. There needs to be a message. I thought, oh, it's 8. Yeah, by this time it's 9 o'clock. And it was so funny because my computer was being a little glitchy last week, and so I didn't take my computer home with me because I left it because Jason, who's our tech guy, was coming on Friday. I thought I'll get him to look at it and see what's going on. So I didn't have my computer at home, and the Lord says, wait, and I says, okay, and you know what? I had such peace about it. And by the way, for those of you who were busy looking for me this morning, I also was teaching the teen Sunday school class. So I'll give you the lowdown of the morning and I'll share why I'm doing that. So I got up my normal time to get ready and got ready. And that said, instead of devotion, it's like, okay, Lord, download me what you want me to do for the message, which he did. Praise God. Aren't you glad? Got ready to go, was taking my coffee to the sink, thought I'd take a little mouthful, the last of it before, you know, and promptly spilt it down the front of me. And it's time to go. And so, you know, you run to the bathroom. So if you see the big spot here. So I come to the church and I run downstairs and I'm trying to get my computer set up because we're doing for the teens. I need the computer, and wouldn't you know it, I couldn't get it to project to the screen, and I'm fussing away with it, and it's just like, man, what's going on? And I'm thinking, where is everybody? How come nobody's coming downstairs? Anyhow, I guess you guys were looking for me. Sorry, I should have poked my head in, but. Anyhow, with a little bit of finesse, a little curse word that came out at one point. Yeah, sorry, Lord, but let's be honest, it was a little frustrating. It was. And so anyhow, and then finally it's like, no, everybody's staying upstairs, and anyway, blah, blah, blah. The morning went on, and you guys don't know that Ed's not coming, and I don't know why you guys aren't downstairs, and you got the, anyhow, it was just one of those mornings where you realize how human you are, how flawed you are, and how wonderful God is. How wonderful God is in the midst of all our, seriously, if the computer had never started, was that a big deal? No. Thank you. Absolutely. There's wisdom pouring out of the mouth of babes. Does it matter that there's a stain on the front of my shirt? Thank you, you blessed people. Does it matter that I don't have a PowerPoint? Or my notes all typed up? Yep, sure, if it's ready to go. No, I'd rather not have my hands free. Yeah, I'd rather have my hands free, sorry. And so I say that to say we all have life moments like that. And in spite of all of the stuff that goes on in our world, God is faithful. God is good. And he tells us, I've got you. I've got you. So I share all that not to, you know, so for you to feel sorry for me, though I really would like you to. Anyway, but to recognize how good our God is in spite of all the stuff that goes on. And the pastor has the same kind of week the rest of you do. I'm going to get Scott. Lord gave Scott a word to come and share with us this morning. And then we'll move on from there.
He started talking to me when we were singing the Name Above All Names. And he said, you have sung to my name. You've proclaimed my name. You've praised my name. And so you should, and that is good. But know that it is my name and the power and the authority that I have given that name and the trust you have in that name that I have given you that has brought you to where you are. And know this too, that where you are is where I want you right now. It is not where you will stay, for I have big plans for you, but it is where you are that I want you right now. And know this too, that as my name has brought you this far, my name, and again, the power and authority I have given that name, and the trust you must maintain in that name, that I have given you, that will bring you to where I need you to be and I want you to be and will at the end bring you home in great glory. Amen.
Amen. Ah, thank you, Lord. Good word. Good word. Love it when the Lord gives us a word to encourage us. This morning we are taking communion, and so we're going to put some intense focus there this morning. I don't know if it's intense, but focus there this morning. And I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 23, where Paul says, For I received from the Lord what I now pass on to you. The Lord, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. I'm going to stop right there. Here's Paul talking to the Corinthians about communion. And I thought it was interesting that he says this. What do we call communion? The Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, all that kind of thing. But Paul takes a moment to identify it this way. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, and I thought about that. I sat in that for a few minutes this morning as the Lord, I said, I always just assumed he's just pointing out Judas or whatever, but why is he talking about that? Why the night that Jesus was betrayed? And then I had a day like I did this morning. When a little bee comes out the mouth, or a week maybe where stuff has been going on and you've been doubting the Lord. Or, where we maybe betrayed, feel like we've betrayed the Lord on our attitudes and our actions and whatever, and we take a moment, you know, hopefully you took a moment and said, oh, Lord, forgive me. But here is Paul mentioning this as he's about to speak to the whole purpose and point of communion. On the night he was betrayed, on the night he was betrayed. He took bread, and when he had given thanks for it, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You know, when we come to take communion this morning, you're going to get this little chunk of bread. It's so insignificant to the whole, you know, it's just a part, it's just this little thing that we look at. It's just a piece of bread, right? But it's not. And we can look at it and say, but it represents Jesus. Or it's just a symbol. But it means so much more than that. Jesus took this piece of bread. He broke it. And he said, "This is my body." He gave thanks for it first. And then he broke it. I should say that. He gave thanks for it first. And then he broke it. "This is my body." When you think about this moment, Jesus is thanking the Father for the body that he's about to sacrifice for you and I. He gave thanks. Took that piece of bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And this little insignificant piece of bread that we're about to take, in and of itself, is just that. But then when we look at the backstory, when we look at what Jesus did, he gave thanks for this body, his body that he was about to sacrifice for us. And we know in Scripture it says that for the joy put before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. See, because he looked down the timeline and saw you and I sitting here this morning, knowing that we're going to partake, and it brought him joy. Because we're not merely doing a ritual or this third Sunday of the month thing. We're coming more this morning, and I hope this morning than ever before. Not that in the past it's been insignificant, but letting everything be super significant this morning. We're not just here to take communion and then move on. We're going to immerse ourselves in what is happening here. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. To do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I thought we were declaring a risen Savior. But it says here, declaring his death. Why is that so significant for us this morning when we serve a risen Savior? Because we have to stop and remember, how did he die? By the nail, nailed to the cross. There's the cross, the tomb, and there's hell. And when we think about the cross, who was he on the cross? Who was he on the cross? Jesus? The Lord of everything? Or was he our sin? Was he every mistake, every wrongdoing, every sinful thought, every lustful thing, every fleshly craving? Everything that separates us from the love of God, the presence of God, and he was everything that we shouldn't have been, and he became that on the cross. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. That sin went to the tomb, to the grave. You see, when we proclaim his death, we're proclaiming, "My sin is in the grave, dead." Amen. And then we look at the fact he went to hell. and took all of that exactly where it needed to be and left it there. Now, this morning, we're not declaring the resurrected Lord. We're declaring the death that he died for us, though we know he's the resurrected Lord. It's sort of, we already know the end of the book before. But when we take communion, and Paul tells us that every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we're proclaiming what he has done on the cross, what he did in the grave, what he took to hell for us. Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus said. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to read all the way down to verse 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work at those who, in those who are disobedient. And all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But, I love that. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that the coming age he might show his incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we were God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Do you see what the cross brought us? Do you see what the work of Jesus brought us? His death brought us? What we once were, we no longer are. And we've already quoted this from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 12. I love 2 Corinthians 5. I hang out in there a lot. That he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's an amazing thing that we've received through the shed blood of Jesus, through the finished work of Jesus, the work of the cross. And sometimes we need to recognize and take those moments to see ourselves again, crucified with him, that old nature done away with. Now we're going to head back to 2 Corinthians here, or Acts, depending on where I have my bookmark. So then, whenever you eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord's table in an unworthy manner, anyone will be guilty of sinning against the Lord's body and blood. Boy, that's heavy, isn't it, when we first hear that? And we think about eating in an unworthy manner, and we haven't taught that for a long time, where it's all about you looking at yourself and being what an icky person you are. That's not what this is saying. It's not saying, go dig up all your sins. Go dig up all your past. See how, you know, and get before the Lord and confess everything and all of that. Because if you don't, you're eating the communion in an unworthy way. It's not what that's saying at all. In fact, what Paul has just said is, we're going to proclaim what that cross did. When eating in an unworthy manner means that we don't recognize what he's done. That we take it about, Jesus said, look, do this in remembrance of me, not in remembrance of all your sin. In fact, do this in remembrance of what I did with all your sin. Now, hopefully in the moments that you recognize, like this morning when I had a moment, to stop and say, whoa, that's not who I am. Those words are not what needs to come out of my mouth. I'm a new creation in Christ. And because of the finished work of Christ, I thank you, Lord, that I can boldly come before your throne of grace and know that forgiveness is mine. Thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. I come before him in an unworthy manner when I start to look at me and judge myself, not under the blood, but under condemnation. That's unworthy of what he did, because there is now no condemnation. No, that's right. If you're a believer in Jesus, you are under a new covenant, and I have no condemnation. So if I'm finding myself under condemnation, I need to step and say, Lord, I need to remember what you did for me. Lord, I need to change the way I'm thinking and invite Holy Spirit to bring the power of the blood over those areas in my life that I feel condemned in. Because there's no condemnation for me before the Lord. No condemnation for me. Praise God. I raise a hallelujah. So I maybe need to ask myself, what am I holding on to in my thinking, in my heart beliefs that stand opposed to what Jesus did on the cross? Maybe I do need to examine myself in that capacity. But then immediately recognize it as done away with on the cross. Taking it before the Lord, saying, thank you, Jesus. Drinking judgment. Well, let me move on here. Verse 28, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning all the sin in their life. Anybody got that version? What does it say? It says without discerning the body of Christ. Without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment on themselves. So when we come to the communion table and we're partaking in that broken body and that cup, we're partaking in the finished work of Jesus, where he has finished it for us. It is finished. When he was on the cross, was it finished yet? No, he still had the grave and hell to go to and a resurrection to come to. But he said it was finished. He's proclaiming, he's declaring this morning. And every Sunday morning when we declare what we see in our hearts and our minds for our community, for our families, for ourselves. And Jesus saw and declared, it is finished. But there was a little more to happen. But it was already done. The enemy did not win, has not won. Do you hear that? The enemy has not won in your life. Are you fighting and battling someplace? Do you already know you're going to win? That's why you keep on fighting. That's why we keep pushing. We already know the battle belongs to the Lord. The outcome is already in our favor. No weapon formed against us shall. And if God is for us, who can stand? Or what can stand against us? We have these promises. The children's story this morning talking about faithfulness. We can be faithful to God because he is so faithful to us. Every promise is ours. Every promise is a yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Can I have an amen? Amen. Amen. So So we don't come to the table. We want to discern what it is. We don't want this to be a ritual. We won't want to be focused on our bad selves, if I can put it that way, the old nature that is, I'm sorry, dead and buried in the grave, right? And want to accept by faith that it is finished, the finished work of Jesus. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Starting in verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be, hello? In his sight. Where are you holy and blameless? In Christ. In his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption into sonship through Jesus Christ. You're holy, you're blessed. You've got every spiritual blessing in heavenly realm in Christ. Now you have sonship. In accordance with his pleasure and will. Now just hold on to that for a second. It is his pleasure and his will to have you as a son or daughter. God of all creation, God Almighty, it is his pleasure to have you as a child in his kingdom, all through the finished work of God, of Jesus, to the praise of his glory, which he freely gives, has freely given us in the one he loves, in Jesus. In him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sin in accordance to the riches of his grace. And I love this part, that he lavishes on us. He lavishes on us his grace. He lavishes on us his love. We have redemption through the blood, forgiveness. So when we come to the table, what are we going to focus on? And it says, with all wisdom and understanding, he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. He's revealed to us the mystery. He's brought us redemption. He's brought us forgiveness. He's brought us wisdom and understanding. We're blameless and holy in his sight. And the blood, it speaks of forgiveness. In fact, the blood of Christ speaks louder than the blood of murdered Abel. Scripture tells us that. And you know, when Cain murdered Abel, and God, you know, confronted him on it, and there was the whole thing. Cain realized something, that he was going to be separate from God. The first he was most concerned with it, he wasn't going to be able to farm. How many farmers have had to retire and still don't give up the farm? You know what I mean? In their heart, you can take the farmer out of the farm, but you can't take the farm out of the farmer. And Cain. Cain all of a sudden recognized he wasn't going to be able to farm the land. Because God said the land is going to be cursed. It's not going to produce anything for you. And he also says, I'm going to be separated from you, God. The Lord didn't say that, but Cain said that. And then he said, and if I go out and wander, because God told him, you're going to be wandering the earth. So if I go out and wander, people are going to want to kill me. He says, no, I'm going to put a mark on you so they know. Not two. And seven times worse will happen to them if they try to kill Cain. So here's Cain. And I'm going to say this. We've kind of been wandering the earth, humans like that. Kind of marked, feeling separated from God. Feeling like all the work that we do, can sort of be like King Solomon says, pointless. It's all pointless. But here's the interesting thing. Ephesians 1, verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You've got a better. You've got it better. You've got a better mark. You're not merely not going to be killed, but you've been saved. You've got a better mark. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've been marked for God as his because of the finished work of Jesus. How many are thankful for the Holy Spirit this morning? Hey, hey, hey. Through Jesus, we have been brought near to God. We can boldly go before his throne of grace. And even more so than this, the mystery that has been hidden for generations has now been revealed. And we've moved to Colossians, verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 27. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles. Hello, Gentiles. The glorious riches of this mystery. This is a mystery that's been revealed to us, which is. Anybody know what the mystery is? Christ in you. The hope of glory. Christ in this lump of molded clay, where the breath of life of God has been breathed into us. With all our faults and follies and frailty, the God of all the universe, of all, dwells in us by the presence of his Holy Spirit. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we're going to take communion now. And I want us to go back to the whole concept of Paul's talking about Jesus on the night he was betrayed. Did something that changed everything. So whether you feel like you betrayed the Lord or not, whether you feel like you've lived a good, glorious week this week in holy righteousness, or like me, you just didn't. That doesn't change who you are in God. That doesn't change your position in Christ. Because it's not by our works that we are saved. It's not by our good things we are saved. But by what he did. And what he's done for us. So as we come and partake this morning, let's eat in a manner worthy of him. Remembering what he has done. And if there are things on your heart that you haven't laid on that cross yet, recognized it being there, take that moment to do it. But don't focus on you, focus on him. So I'll get us to bring out the communion. And I'll ask you to come on up. hold in our hands seems small and insignificant. What was accomplished changed everything. So Jesus, we give you praise, honor, and glory because of you. Because of you, we can declare the past dead and the new fresh life, the eternal hope we have in you. We can declare it to all, the goodness of God. So as we take, we thank you for the washing away of our sins. Not merely a covering, but a washing away. New covenant, new life, new creations. Let us partake. This morning, before we go, I just want to pray for a few people, and I'll just ask if there's anybody else who feels there's something to be prayed for. We want to lift up Jim, who's just been struggling. Also want to lift up Betty, the wife, her spouse is hurting. And the two become one flesh, right? And so what's with one is with the other. We want to lift up Lorinda. We want to lift up Ed. We want to lift up Tony. Is there anybody else this morning that knows of a need in our body? We want to lift up Doris as she goes this week to bury her younger brother. Okay. Al, for you as well. For Ted and Orlean. And as I pray, if you feel to get up and go put your hands on them, I'll pray. So yeah, I don't have to call. But if you feel to go put your hands on these people. So I'm going to start with Betty. And just lay hands on her while we pray. And she stands a proxy for Jim. So, Father, we come before you, and we declare and decree over Jim's life total healing. As it is in heaven, so it'll be here on earth. That every disease and every situation within his body, even if his own body is attacking him, we come against it now in the name of Jesus. And we loose upon him the promises of God that says, in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Christ, he is healed. Father, we pray for Betty. We pray for divine wisdom as a wife, as a caregiver, to speak into Jim's life and to her own life. We pray the peace of God to be upon her. And Father, I pray, again, we thank you for the blessing that promises that you will multiply the years the canker worm is stolen. We thank you for that. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we want to lift up Lorinda to you right now as well. Father, we again declare over her the finished work of Jesus. MS has not her master, you are. Holy Spirit dwells richly in her. Holy Spirit, we thank you that all that is contrary to the finished work of Jesus be chased from her body now. And we pray for wholeness and fullness. And Father, anything in heart and mind that stands opposed to the whole healing that is hers, that you paid for, Jesus, be gone now in the name of Christ. And Father, again, we just bless her for the calling and the purposes that you have upon her life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we want to lift up Doris to you. And we cry and we mourn with those who mourn. But Father, we also rejoice in the promise and the vision that you gave Doris in regards to her brother. Kingdom and glory. Kingdom and glory. So again, we pray a peace over her and his whole family as they lay him to rest this week, as they celebrate his life. May you be glorified in it, Lord. We ask in your name. Father, we pray for Tony. And again, we declare the healing of the Lord upon his body. Total healing, Lord. Restoration to the fullness, to the glory of your name, God. No withered hands, but an outstretched hand to the glory of God. Strength, clarity of mind. And Father, again, we pray for Deb and all of this as well. Give her peace, give her strength. And again, divine wisdom in all of this. Father, we lift up Al Mueller. Father, we pray for our brother. We pray for all that is out of order to come into line and alignment with the finished work of Jesus. We pray strength. And again, all that is out of a line, come into a line. Pain be gone in the name of Jesus. Clarity of thought, Lord. And we break every chain that is trying to hold him back and hold him down. It has been broken in the name of Jesus. That he be free, set free. He is free in the name of Jesus. Set free. Thank you, Lord. Father, we lift up Ted and Arlene to you now, and we pray again for their physical well-being. We pray over Ted that the pain be gone, his back come into alignment. His hips have been made perfect. But Lord, we need the rest to come align with what you've done in the name of Jesus. Again, Father, we pray for godly wisdom, clear mind and clear thoughts. Lord, just touch their lives. Just touch their lives. Touch them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else this morning? Did I miss anybody? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, again, we lift this fill up to you, and we say, thank you, Lord, that by your stripes he is healed. Lord, you gave sight to the blind. This is nothing for you to heal. It's simple. And again, we thank you by the power and the presence of your name and your Holy Spirit for healing of his eyes, complete healing. We'll not accept the report that says his eyesight has to get worse. No, we say, no, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. We declare it. We decree it as kingdom authority that the blind have sight. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, thank you. Anybody else this morning? Lord, thank you for your people, your richness, your treasure. Do we have the mic? The cordless mic.
You know, every one of us goes through things in our lives, and we just wonder how long, Lord.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's this little song that says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. He said there would be valleys, but He says, I have come. There's going to be trouble in this world, but take heart. We need to grasp onto that no matter what we're going through. We cannot forget that.
Yeah, that's right.
We've got to remember that, yes, He paid the price, but we have a part. We have to latch on to that and say, Lord, through it all, yep, it's hard, but I'm going to trust You no matter what.
Right.
So I just pray a peace over you, Lord, and a blessing, God, for each one of our lives. We all have problems. We all have situations where we wish we would have done something differently. Or we would have forgiven someone. Mm-hmm. We still can. Because forgiveness is not for them. It's for us. Mm-hmm. And if you're feeling bad about someone or some situation, bring it before the Lord. Because He brings healing through forgiveness. Amen. After all, He forgave us.
Amen, yeah.
Amen. So let us take heart that God has won the victory. And because if we have Him in our hearts, we also are part of that victory.
Yeah, yeah.
But we have to walk through the storm. He said, I will guide you through. It's not the end of it, but it's through. So just be encouraged today, every one of you, as you pray for other people and think as they come along, and bless Shannon.
Thank you.
Bless your sister and all of you.
Well, we're going to call that our benediction.
Amen.
So God bless you guys. Have a wonderful week. And we'll see you next Sunday, if not before. Amen.